أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again to everyone. We just have about 5 minutes today for Nasiha session. What I thought to do is to introduce you, not introduce you, I think you, many of us would have been introduced to it already, but go through with you another compilation of 40 ahadith as we had set out to do from the beginning. This compilation of 40 ahadith is, it should be 40 ahadith that are known to every single Muslim. It's a compilation of the 40 ahadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. It's called Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. The 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi. And as I told you before, it was a practice of the muhaddithin that they would make compilations of 40 ahadith on various topics and various things. Imam Nawawi's compilation of 40 ahadith, it's dear to us for many reasons. Number one, Imam al-Nawawi, I mean, we're mostly Shafi'i, and Imam al-Nawawi is like one of the main and most influential figures in the Shafi madhab. So we indebted to him to a great degree for our fiqh and, you know, the way we live our lives, etc. But more importantly than that, this book, the Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah, it's something that's like, it's a household text in throughout the Arab world, amongst all groups of people, everyone. And we should make it the same for us. Like, there should be no Muslim child, no Muslim person that goes through life without knowing these 40 ahadith. Because what Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has done in this compilation, he compiles 40 ahadith that will give you a good, correct, and sound Islamic worldview. He's not, they're not going to teach you in here how to make salah and stuff like that. It's not about fiqh. It's about giving you, through these ahadith, these 40 ahadith, a complete and holistic Islamic worldview. And I think that is, that's very important. I mean, it's something that we sometimes overlook. We just learn the mechanics of things. We learn how to do things, etc. But we don't always learn how to view things. So I think it's beneficial for us to go through these 40 ahadith, many of them will be a hadith that you have heard before. And there's good reason for that. The works of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala are works that have been like universally accepted. Many of his works. You know, when you come on the Mizan camp and we give you that book of daily devotions and all of that stuff, all of those ahadith, all of those devotions we took from a book, another book of Imam al-Nawawi called Al-Adhkar. Most of the ahadith that people, ulama, by and large reference in relation to, you know, the advices, etc. Yes, they study the primary works of hadith, but many resort to books like Riyadu Salihin, which is also compiled by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, and take the advices from the. So I really feel that this compilation of 40 hadith, that's something that is, its value is proven by the acceptance that it has received throughout time in the Muslim world, and it shows the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this person. So for me, it's very valuable that we go through these ahadith. Many of them you would have heard, you'll know them as well, but you should potentially memorize them and teach them to your children. Like, as I said, nobody should go without knowing these. So we don't really have time actually today. Time is up, but it was just read one hadith. Doesn't require much explanation. We could speak a lot about it, but it doesn't require much explanation. Right? And we know this hadith already. So we have here, عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال. So, narrated by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, Abi Hafs, the father of Hafsa, was the, this was the nickname of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Everybody should know Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing, one who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extolled his virtues on numerous occasions, saying that he was such a person that if you were to take one road and shaitan were to come, you would take, shaitan would take a different road. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say that if there were to be a prophet after me, if there were to be a prophet after me, then it would be Umar ibn Khattab. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of prophethood. So a man of great, great, great virtue. Radiallahu anhu. He said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, that I heard the messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ say, يَقُولُ, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ, actions are only بِالنِّيَّاتِ, by intentions. We can understand that in many ways. Actions are only judged according to the intentions, or the value of an action is only as good as the value of its intention, or the sincerity or the purity of its intention. In many ways you can understand that. It literally means, I mean, you know a bit of Arabic, so you can appreciate that there isn't a lot of explanation there. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, actions are only بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So it requires some interpretation. Are only valued according to intentions, are only judged according to the intentions, are only worth what the intentions are worth. Right? And then he continues and he says, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, وَإِنَّمَا, and there is only لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ, for every person, امْرِئ literally means a man, but we know when it's used in general like this, it will include males and females. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ, and there is only for every person مَا نَوَى, مَا, that which نَوَى, he has intended. Each person will only have what he has intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ, so whoever, كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ, his migration was, this is now speaking when they left Mecca to go to Medina, and they left behind their wealth and their family and everything. Rasulullah says, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ, whoever their migration was, إلى الله ورسوله, to Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, فهجرته إلى ما ه... فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله, then his hijrah truly was to Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning, whoever migrated with the intention of Allah and His and the pleasure of Allah and the and service to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then his hijrah will truly, the reward of his hijrah will truly be that he will attain Allah and his Messenger, meaning the pleasure of Allah and you know, the pleasure of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ, and whoever, كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ, his migration was, لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, لِي, to dunya, some of this world, يُصِيبُهَا, Asaba yusibu means to asaba literally means to take an arrow and hit the target. So whoever wanted to hit the jackpot in some dunya, or he made that migration towards some dunya that he could attain, or a female, yankihuha, that he wanted to marry, meaning if he left from Mecca to Medina, leaving behind everything, going to Medina, but he was going to Medina just because he saw another lady go to Medina and that he wanted to marry that lady. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, his hijrah, his migration is to whatever he migrated to. Meaning the reward of his migration will be what his intention for migration was. Right? And then we have here, رَوَاهُ إِمَامَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ أَبُوْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ إِسْمَعِيلِ بْنِ Ibrahim ibn Mughira ibn Bardizbah al-Bukhari al-Ju'fi. So he says here, Rawahu imama al-Muhaddithin. The two imams of the Muhaddithin have narrated this, have recorded this hadith. Who are they? The first one is al-Bukhari And the rest of the thing is his whole name. Abu Abdullah, Muhammad, Ibn Ismail, Ibn Ibrahim, Ibn Mughira, Ibn Bardizbah. That's the name of his ancestors. And Al-Ju'fi is his nisbah, place where he came from. Person, so he's saying the Al-Bukhari is the name. Why is he telling us all of this? This is supposed to be a book for the ordinary person, any person, because he feels that it's integral to the faith of people, not just to their faith, but to their holistic understanding of deen, that there's certain people you have to know. You have to know who Umar radiallahu anhu is. You have to know who Bukhari is. You have to know who Muslim is. So he tells you, wa Abu al-Husayn Muslimun, or Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj ibn Muslim al-Qushayri al-Naysaburi. And the other Imam of the Muhaddithin, who we know as Muslim. That's why we have Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Muslim was the name of the other Imam of the Muhaddithin. Radiallahu anhuma fi sahihayhima الذين هما أصح الكتب المصنفة. He says, may Allah have mercy on the two of them regarding their authentic compilations, which are the most authentic authored books. Which are the most authentic authored books. Meaning, the Quran is not an authored book. The Quran is a revealed book. No human being authored it. But he says, as for the books of the two of them, those are the most authentic authored books that we have with us. So I think that hadith is self-explanatory. And we don't have much time. But this is just the first of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. I would usually read it and its commentaries in Arabic, but I just downloaded an English commentary on it of another great scholar, Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, which I will possibly send to everyone, inshallah. I'll ask Nasreen to send it. It's an English commentary on these ahadith. I haven't actually read this commentary yet, but maybe I'll just flip through it and then decide whether to send it or not, inshallah. But we end there for now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who shape our world according to the teachings of these ahadith. That for us, intention always comes first, it's foremost, and of prime importance in our minds in relation to everything we do. And we have an opportunity to exercise this very shortly. The month of Ramadan is coming. What are our intentions for the month of Ramadan? What are our intentions for the month of Ramadan? There's maybe another book I must introduce you to, perhaps next week, inshallah, a book called Kitabun Niyat. Some scholars, they would have niyat that they would make for every action. So there's a book like that. So one scholar compiled a book called Kitabun Niyat. Literally, he has different actions that people do normally. And then he lists good niyas that you can have when doing that. When you get married, what niyas can you have? When you drink coffee, what niyas can you have? When you, all of those things. So perhaps I'll send that to you next week, inshallah. We end there for now. Let's have good niyat going into the month of Ramadan. And let's not just have good niyat, let's have many, many good niyat. Sincere, pure niyat. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actualize them and bring them to fruition for us. Bidni subhanahu wa ta'ala. In there for now, وجزاكم الله خيرا وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Any questions or anything before I go? Well, very quiet today, both classes. It's okay, we're in there. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.